Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Have that up on the screen, and he's going to, I've got something I'm going to show you tonight. Just for a minute. It's just, it was showing Wayne and Matthew and Sterling and those guys that was in my office at that time. And a guy, Ryan come in upstairs the other day, and we just visited a while. Don't beat it on your hand. It's very delicate. Yeah. It's already been glued once. But anyway, Ryan came up, was talking to me, and he said, "What are you studying?" And I showed him, and he's going, "Wow, that's cool." And I said, "You're the first one to know it." And then I talked to a guy, and I said, "You're the second one to know it." And so the guys in my office were the third. And so you guys, all you on the internet, turn the internet off. I don't want you to see it yet. I don't want to blow the surprise, all right? I'm just kidding. Don't turn your internet off. But anyway, when I get time to just sit and I'm just me, it's just me and the Lord. It's just me and the Bible. Usually I'm up there and even in my padded cell up there, I've got headphones on. I'm just listening to real quiet music. And believe it or not, it's the same music every day. Same music. I have a playlist and it's the exact same music every single day. It's just how I do it. But when I get alone and get time to think and study and go through the Scripture, some really neat things show up. And I'm working on just some more teaching on DNA being a book. And it's the book of life. It's the Word of God. And everything about this matches your Bible. And there's things in here that you know. And I'm going to show you this very quickly. And it may make you jump up and throw a hymn book up in the air and shout and dance and everything like that, or it may just be you'll go, huh. So anyway, here it is. Every time, and this is going on in your body right now, every time your body makes a new cell, okay, most of your cells have this packaged together in 46 bundles called chromosomes. When your cell is going to make a new cell, or put it like this, let's say that we're having church one Sunday and there's a lost man here, a lost woman, and God's going to save that person. There's a way that God does. He does it through His Word. Amen? We're not going to give them nice quotations from famous celebrities. We're going to give them the Word of God. The seed is going to go into their life. We're going to make a new Christian. And that person gets saved. We ask, "Do you have a Bible?" "No, I don't have a Bible." "Here's the Bible." We're going to give them a Bible. Amen. And it's going to be a King James. We're all going to have the same daddy. Amen. Same daddy. So a cell in your body is going to spin off and make a new cell. So it has to have an exact copy of this same DNA. Okay? It's just like us giving a new convert a King James Bible. There's a process. This is a rolled up scroll. It's a scroll of a book that's rolled up, just like they used to have in the old days. All right, Jews, it's when they go to synagogue, still the same way. They have a scroll and they roll out the scroll and read the scroll. All right. So here's what happens. There's a little enzyme machine called DNA polymerase. You don't have to know that, but remember in Revelation 5. God's got a book in His right hand, and it's sealed with seven seals. The only one worthy to open that book and loose the seals was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So He then goes and He takes the book out of the right hand of the Father, and then He begins to break the seals and He opens the book. Well, here's what's interesting, is that your DNA, here's the Old Testament, here's the New Testament right here, it's joined together by the four Gospels and the four base pairs that are in here. These two little molecules here, the bases, are like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And they're stuck together. They're stuck together because there's a hydrogen atom here that's positively charged and an oxygen atom over here that's negatively charged. It's like the two poles of a magnet. You put a north and a south pole of a magnet together, what are they going to do? They're going to stick together. So these things are bonded together by like static electricity. All right? Well, remember, Jesus is the only one who's able to open these seals, to loose these seals and open the book. So the DNA polymerase is the only thing in your whole body that can break open these seals here and open the book. So it, once it opens the book, it can make a copy. This, send this whole section over here to the new cell, and a new copy of the DNA is in the new cell. Well, here's the thing. Before the DNA polymerase can break open these bonds and open the book, remember, it's wound up like this. What's the first thing you do before you can read the scroll? You got to unroll it. Okay? So there is another enzyme called topoisomerase. Maybe I got that wrong. But that enzyme, before the book can be unsealed and read, this has to go before it and untwist the DNA and make it like a ladder, make it straight like a ladder. And I'm sitting there thinking about that and I'm going, I know what that is. Before Jesus could come and present Himself to the world as the Word of God, John the Baptist had to come before Him, and it was written in Isaiah 40 that He has to prepare the way by making the crooked things straight. Okay? Some of you is asleep. You'll catch this in the rewind. Okay? But this is, everything about this is in the Bible. And I'm going to spend my lifetime one thing at a time. And I don't know that, I don't remember this stuff from my doctorate program that I took. I got to learn this stuff like every redneck has to learn it. Watch YouTube. Okay? And I did. I've had about 15 different YouTube videos pulled up. Some of them explained very plainly. Some of them was by some Indian guy with a heavy accent. I didn't understand it. But that's what has to happen. There's a thing that goes before the DNA polymerase that actually takes, the word for something twisted in the Bible is crooked. And he makes the crooked things straight so that the hydrogen bonds can be broken, the seals can be broken, and the book can be opened up and read. It's just like the Word of God. I like that stuff. Now I'm going to make you mad. Genesis chapter 3. God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. By the way, I had a phone call today from a guy. I like this kind of stuff. I like it when I show people that the Bible's right and turn them loose. Because here's what he said. He said, "Pastor," he said, "think about this." He said, "You know, we come from the earth. We are an extension of the earth." And he said, "You know, when we're in the womb, we're enclosed in water." And he said, "When we are born, we emerge out of the water, and here we are." And he said, "If you look in Genesis chapter 1, on day 3, when God, the dry land of the earth was submerged under the sea." Okay? Just like a baby in the womb. And he said on day 3 what happened was the dry land appeared out of the sea, just like a baby being born coming out of the water, out of the deal there, the womb. And I'm just going, okay, I like it. It works, amen. Verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed." That's what we're dealing with, seed. "And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. "The earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." Now, I want you to look up. In fact, look up here at the screen here. I'm going to show you some verses here. Well, last week we left off talking about the wheat and the tares. Okay? Did anybody ever figure out? There's two pictures up here. One of them is wheat and one of them is tares. Okay? And I did it deliberately. The wheat is on Are you sure? You believe so? You want to put a $50 bill on it? I didn't think so. Okay. That's the same issue that they ran into. The servants came to the master and said, what are we going to do about it? Can we just pull it up now? No. We're going to wait, because then you might pull up wheat. So we're going to wait. Now, what happened? In fact, let me read this. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to reiterate this and I'm going to drive this home. When you are letting God sow good seed into your mind, into your ears, into your eyes, into your heart, good things will come out of it. That's the rule. When you let the devil sow bad seed into your eyes, into your ears, into your mind, into your heart, when you let that happen, bad things will come out of it. Amen? Let me illustrate for you. There's a reason why I brought this up here a while back. Over here in front of Home Depot, there's a little picnic table with a hut over it and a sign that says, property of City of Festus Parks Department. It's just a picnic table. And the first time I saw that, I'm going, boy, what a waste of money. Put a stupid picnic table out here. Somebody must have made a phone call. Somebody's got influence. Wanted a little picnic table in their own little city park here. But I found out the deal is that the City of Festus has an ordinance that says no adult pornography store can be within like 5 miles of any city park. So the City of Festus just got permission to put these little city parks all over town. So now it's impossible to put a porno shop anywhere inside the City of Festus. Amen. Amen. Now, ask the question. Why was the City of Festus be concerned? Why would the citizens of Festus, Missouri be concerned about a dirty bookstore close to a city park? Why? Children. Do you mean to say that guys going into a dirty bookstore might be inclined to go after children? See, it just makes sense, doesn't it? We are turning a generation of people in this country into perverts. Big time. Because it is understood that when you have something, when you have that seed going into your mind, nobody around you is safe. What goes in comes out. Amen? God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It just makes sense. When you put wheat into the ground, wheat comes up. The enemy that sowed tares in among this knew that tares would come up, not wheat. Just makes sense. All right? But anyway, what we have is a situation where things are mingled. We have the wheat, we have the tares, and they're mingled together. This is the world we live in. Somebody asked me, sent an email the other day, and I happened to catch it, and they were asking about having get-togethers with lost family members. Should we do this, or should we stay away from them? And I gave scripture, you know, that says, you know, number one, we're in the world, but not of the world. But Jesus did not segregate himself from sinners. He was around sinners. He went to a publican's house. Was in Matthew's house. And he, you know, ate with sinners. Ate with publicans and sinners. Okay? That's who he was with. Hospitals are full of sick. Doctors don't stay away from hospitals. Thank God. Doctors go into hospitals. Why? Because that's where they're needed. And so and they said, "What? We appreciate that. Thank you very much for that." Okay? But we are in a situation right now where we are in the world. We cannot segregate ourselves completely from the world. And I don't think it's a good idea. Somebody out there is going to need us. The world's getting darker. We're the stars of heaven. We need to shine on them and show them the way. Amen? And so watch this. But we're in a situation right now where we've got tares all around us. Okay? And God said, if look, Leviticus chapter 19, in fact, I got about five verses up here. Let me read them for you very quickly. He said, you shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. In other words, he said, if they're going to be heifers, let them be heifers. If they're going to be, give me another type of cattle. Huh? Hereford? Okay. If they're going to be Herefords, let them stay Herefords. You can tell there's not a lot of cattlemen in this church. Okay? Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. You don't till your garden up. Take your radish seeds, your tomato seeds, your carrot seeds, your lettuce seeds, put them all into a bowl and throw them out there. You don't do that. Why? It's confusion. How will you tell? Because each one of them has to be harvested at a different time. How will you be able to tell which one is which? It's confusion. All right? Do not be part of a church where they're going to use more than one Bible translation. It is confusion. Or, here's what they do, Linda. They don't just mingle the Bible translations. They'll give a verse out of some wacky translation, and then they're going to quote four or five famous people in history. Oh, you know, did you know that Mahatma Gandhi said this? Did you know that King George of England said this? Did you know that Adolf Hitler said that? Who cares? Who cares? But they're mingling those things into their messages. They are sowing mingled seed into those people. Okay? He said in Deuteronomy 22, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. You don't do that. Deuteronomy 22:11, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Wool is from animals. Linen is from vegetable material, cotton. He said, you do not mingle them together. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. I preached on that here a while back. If you're going to be honest with everybody. Everybody gets the same measure. Amen? Deuteronomy 25:14, thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. I already have that. I listed that twice in there. But anyway, he said, don't do these things. Don't have anything to do with it. Do not mingle them. So, the wheat and the tares. Jimmy, you still going to stick with your answer? This side right here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're wrong. I believe that. I believe that. What do you see up here? Okay, they all say, every one of them say, Holy Bible. Which one do you pick? How can you tell? In fact, you know, I'll go back to this. Okay? Okay. There's one sure. Well, see, but Jimmy, you know churches and pastors that don't use the King James, and they're just as convinced that the NIV is their way to go. Okay? Here's my point. This is what I'm going to make you mad with tonight. Okay? Here's my point. These are all convinced that that Bible is the way to go. So, what did the Master here in our story in Matthew tell His servants? What are we going to wait on? We're going to wait on harvest. My dad was good about going out and seeing trees and say, that's an oak tree, that's an elm tree, or my peepaw used to say elm tree. That's an elm tree. That's an ash tree, and so on. Dad was good at that. I'm not good at it. But if it's got an apple on it, I'd say that's an apple tree. That is a pear tree. That is a peach tree. Okay? That's how you know. Apple trees do not produce pears. Okay? It's that simple. So here's the thing. I mean, I've been in arguments with people. There's people that don't like me because of my stand on the Bible, and they say all kinds of things and so on, and I'm just going to wait for for the fruit. Okay? Here is four different churches called First Baptist Church. Now, I'm not picking on Baptists in particular or anybody else. That's just what came to mind. Four different churches called First Baptist Church. How would you know what church to go to? Four different congregations. They all look like they're having a good time. They all look like they're worshiping. How would you know the wheat from the tares? Okay? How would we know that? In Proverbs 11:21, though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, in these verses here, especially this one right here, there is a contrast between the seed of the wicked and the seed of the righteous. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. It's going to be at the end, it is going to be known who is and who isn't. God's going to make that call. Here is Jesus, and He's separating in Matthew 25 the sheep from the who? The goats. He's the shepherd. He is the one who's going to separate everybody out. Isaiah 1:4, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. Notice there's four different descriptions here of the people of Israel. Sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. And remember this. He calls them a seed of evildoers. How did they get to be that way? It's what was sowed in them. And I'm telling you, you can do what you want. You live your life how you want to live it. I'm not a pastor that thinks I have to control everybody and tell you what you can and cannot do. But I'm telling you, when you sow good things into your mind and your heart and your ears and your eyes and your everything else, when you sow those good things in there, good things will come out of it. It is a guaranteed principle in the Bible. When you sow bad things into your mind and your eyes and your ears and your heart and your relationships, when you sow things into somebody with your mouth, you are going to get back what you sowed in them. This is absolutely true. You want people to treat you right? You want good friends? You want good people around you? You start sowing good seed in them. You start saying things that are nice, saying things that are right, saying things that are true, saying things that are comforting to them. I can't remember the exact verse, but the Bible talks about a man that wants friends must show himself friendly. Sow friendships into people. You'll get that back. Okay? Sow kindness into people. You will get it back. I'm not talking about karma. I'm not talking about any kind of wild thing like that. I'm just telling you this is what your Bible's teaching you. You want evildoers for children? Sow evil seed into them. Okay? Or let them sow it themselves. But four things here have replaced the gospel in the American family. People laden with iniquity, sinful nation, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. How did we get in the situation that we're in right now? We had a generation grow up in this nation that was full of corruption. They migrated into the churches and corrupted the churches. They said, we don't want that pure Bible. We want that corrupt Bible. We want that music. We want that lifestyle. We don't want you to tell us that we're doing anything wrong. We want to be able to live our lives and do whatever we want to and go to your church. And not have you say anything about it. That's exactly what we want. So it's all about the seed. Look at Isaiah 14. You believe the devil has seed? Sure he does. Comes right out of his mouth. That's what he did with Eve. He sowed seed into her mind. And she listened to it. She did not root it out. She did not say, Adam, believe it or not, this snake's talking to me. Honey, it's okay. Take this. You'll get over it. No, I'm telling you, the snake's over there talking to me, telling me to go eat that fruit off that tree. Well, God said, don't do that. That's exactly what I'm saying. Okay, she should have done something, but she didn't. She let her lust, let her eyes get away from her, let her pride get away from her. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now here's what I want you to do. I've got this little theory that yes, this is Satan. This is the dragon. This is the serpent. But I also think it would apply to any man who had the same Luciferian philosophy in his mind. Man ascending to be as high as God is. How many of you know people like that? Sure you do. I read something today on Facebook, one of those posters, and had Morgan Freeman in it, the actor. And I don't know if you paid attention to this guy. He is taking movie roles in the last several years that has to do with man's transcendency. He's been in several of them, including he played God in Bruce Almighty. Okay? And Morgan Freeman believes in his mind that he is his God. And he is going to ascend up. So he is a Lucifer. Now look at this. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now look at verse 19, Isaiah 14. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Verse 20. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. That word renowned means it means to be made known, to be made abroad. Their name is talked about long after they're dead. When we have a cemetery, we put memorials there. We put a tombstone there, some kind of marker that gives them renown. This is so-and-so. He is buried here. He is buried in honor. We go up here to the Jefferson Barracks up here with all those crosses everywhere. Those soldiers, men that fought in wars and are dead up there. We honor them. But he's talking about those who are of the seed of the evildoers. They're cast out of their grave and they shall not be renowned. They'll not be honored. Amen? People who live that kind of... Whoever found Adolf Hitler dead should have pulled him out and dragged him through the streets. That's what they should have allowed Osama bin Laden's body to be brought back and everybody on America get a chance to spit on him. Amen. If that was him. How will we know? Amen? Isaiah 57. The righteous perisheth and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away and none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Righteousness is dying off in America and nobody cares. Nobody gives a hoot that righteousness is gone out of our country. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, seed of the adulterer and the whore. Remember, Mystery Babylon is a mother. She is a mother of harlots and abominations. That's who she is. She, verse 4, against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression? A seed of what? Falsehood. When something is delivered from a pulpit to the pews, that is seed. Doesn't matter what it is, it is seed. Whether it is a liberal preacher who is given a little chunk of this Bible over here and a little bit of this Bible translation over here, and then something that Dr. So-and-so said, and then something that somebody else came up with, and something they read out of a book. I got somebody who's coming to this church tell me they're leaving their church that they were going to because the preacher just quit preaching Sunday night and Wednesday night out of the Bible. He's got him books. He got it at the bookstore. He's been reading them. He's been preaching and teaching out of the books on Sunday night, Wednesday night. And they said, it just kind of makes sense because there's things going on with him that they know about that ain't right. They said, it just kind of makes sense now. And I'm just telling, whether it's a liberal preacher or a conservative preacher who has everybody stand, honor the Word of God, reads one verse of Scripture, everybody sit down and for an hour and 15 minutes preaches out of his head, and no Scripture. That's just as corrupt as a liberal. It's my opinion. What comes out and goes into the pews is seed. If That seed is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It will bring about righteousness in people's lives. I do not have to worry and fret myself about how you people live your lives. If I'm giving you the Word of God, it will do in you what it's supposed to do in you. And if you ain't right with God, it ain't going to be right with God. It'll drive you out. You won't be able to stand it. The devil couldn't stand it. Amen. Seed of falsehood. So if I get up here and I'm just reading stuff out of books and stuff out of who knows what, that is going to produce a church that is a seed, a generation of falsehood. There's nothing that's going to be true in their lives. That's just how it works. I'm going to tell you what, I promised Jimmy I was going to make him mad. Let me get to it. I guess, get ready. Deuteronomy 32. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. So if I came out here and I had me a NIV Bible and I started preaching about that and place where the King James said, there should not be any Sodomites in the land. The NIV there was translated by at least two Sodomites that we have now identified. And they've taken in several places the word Sodomite out of there, replaced it with a shrine prostitute. So it does not say Sodomite. And I sow that into my congregation. It is guaranteed that unless God gets a hold of me and I plow that up and replant, it is guaranteed that that is the fruit that is going to be manifested in that church. Their vine is the vine of Sodom, the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Wine is always indicative of a spirit in the Bible, whether it's the Holy Spirit or an unholy one. Depends on whether it's new wine or not. If it's new wine, it's the Holy Spirit. If it's fermented wine, it's corrupt, it's been corrupted with leaven. Leaven's a type of sin. How much leaven does it take? Just a little. Doesn't take much at all. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole wine barrel. And it'll corrupt it. And what that leaven is doing is it's eating the sweetness out of that wine. It's eating the sugar right out of it and is replacing it with methyl alcohol. Okay? That's what it's doing. So, any church, and again, I showed this picture a while ago. How are we ever going to know if we're right on this Bible issue? All you have to do is look for the fruit. First Baptist Church, this is in Greenville, South Carolina. They're now ordaining sodomite and or transgendered ministers in their congregation. Big Baptist megachurch. Here's another one. First Baptist Church of Memphis votes to okay gay marriage and sodomite ordination. Baptist Church. 50 years ago, 75 years ago, If you went into a Baptist church and said anything like this, they'd throw you out. What happened to these churches? The seed. The seed was sown. The vine of Sodom and the seeds of Sodom was sown into that church, and now the fruit is being born. Anthony Campolo, you may not have heard of him. I've known about him since I was in college. When I was in Bible college, I went through that. You know, you go through stages. You're going to be like people. And for a while, I wanted to be like Tony Campolo because he was really cool. Emerging church leader Tony Campolo comes out of the closet in support of full acceptance of homosexuality in the church. They're just like us. Dr. Martin Wildstra was on the NIV translating committee. Here's what he said. He said, "I do not think the Old Testament and New Testament texts are all that clear to warrant a strongly negative stand of the Christian church. And he's talking about sodomy. He said, I think as those who love the inerrant Word of God, we want to be doubly sure that we read that Word correctly. Jesus says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Let us make sure that we put a burden, or that as we put a burden on anyone, such as complete celibacy, we do so because we are 100% sure that this is Jesus' burden. Otherwise, we should leave this to the individual conscience. That's what he said. Just let them make up their own mind. Okay? Here's another one. Ravi Zacharias. Okay? There's people listening online know that name. He said, justice is not part of virtue. It is virtue entire, nor is the contrary injustice a part of vice, but vice entire. Here's what he said. Suppose you say you love someone, like a gay person, but you are unjust in your dealings with them. How would that gay person respond to your words, but I love you? If heterosexual Christians fail to identify with homosexual Christians, now that's two words that do not go together. It's like saying that you are alive, dead. Homosexual Christians. If they fail to identify with homosexual Christians who are chained by ecclesiastical homophobia, as though chained with them, how will the enchained gay people respond to the phrase, but I love you? In other words, let's just accept them. Let's don't judge them. Let's bring them in. How did that happen? Vine of Sodom. The new translations. Dr. William Brownlee. He's the professor of religion at Claremont Graduate School and professor of Old Testament at the School of Theology, Claremont, California. Here's what he said. The oppression of the stranger is the basic element of Genesis chapter 19, and the word sodomy in Genesis is basically oppression of the weak and helpless. In other words, when the Bible uses the word sodomy, it does not mean a homosexual man kissing another man with his tongue. Does not mean that. It means an oppressed person and weak person. So let's change what the word means. Let's see here. Theological Seminary Old Testament scholar Martin Wildstra, he said, there is nothing in the Old Testament that corresponds to homosexuality as we understand it today. There is no text on homosexual orientation in the Bible. These guys are all coming out and saying the Bible really doesn't say that this is wrong. Why not? F.F. Bruce. I had one of his textbooks when I was at Hillsdale Free Will Baptist College. It was he was the expert on the Apostle Paul. And I had one of his textbooks. It's about this thick. Don't ask me if I read it. F.F. Bruce, here's what he said. Those who use Genesis 1:27 against homosexuals should note Paul's statement in Galatians 3:28, in which he is emphatic that there is now no theological significance to the heterosexual pair, male and female. Let me tell you what he's saying. Genesis 1:27 is God created them, male and female created He them. In other words, God separated man from woman. F.F. Bruce is now saying that because Paul made his statement in Galatians 3:28, there's no male or female in Christ, that there really shouldn't be any problem with us and two men locked together. We shouldn't have a problem with it because Paul didn't have a problem with it. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Romans chapter 1. He said, Sodom is used as a symbol of evil in dozens of places in the Bible, but not a single instance is the sin of the Sodomites specified as homosexuality. Not true. Amen. Not true. Amen. Genesis 19. The men of Sodom from every quarter, both young and old, saw the two men, demanded that Lot throw them out that we may know them. Not true. These guys are lying. Okay? I'll cover this next week. Here's what you're looking for right here. Here's the harvest. Jimmy, look up here. Can you tell the difference now? Wheat turns the color of the sun. That's at the harvest. tears turn black. God, see how simple God makes it? See why Jesus picked that analogy? Turns black. All you got to do is wait for the fruit. And we're seeing the fruit. Y'all stand up or I'll just keep you till 9. We are seeing the fruit being manifested in our lifetime. 50 some odd years. See, 1973 was when the NIV came out. 1973, 83, 93, that's 20 years. 2003, that's 30 years. 2013, that's 40 years. 43 years of new Bible translations in churches, the fruit is being manifested. They will take a softer stand on sodomy. Sodomite marriage. Then it turns to acceptance. Then it turns to apostasy. Okay? Not only embracing it, but becoming it. Okay? So I'm not going to apologize to anybody in the world for sowing this seed in these people's lives. I won't do it. Okay, I'll have to stand before God in judgment on what I do with this. And if I hide it away from everybody, I do God an injustice and you an injustice. If I give it out to you and you receive it, praise the Lord, hallelujah. If I give it out and you reject it, can't help it. Not going to apologize.